May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's been said that meaning shapes our memories. The significance of an event shapes how we remember that event. And I think that's true for all of us. Let's try an experiment. What's your favorite day of the week? Just shout them out. Friday, Saturday, weekend. Any other days? Sunday? Well, thank you. Sunday. Friday's got to be the top, you know, toward the top, right? I mean, Fridays, I mean, they even have a restaurant chain. Thank God it's Fridays, although I think it's thank goodness it's Friday. Did they take God out of the language? I don't know. But then on the other hand, Mondays. Is Monday anybody's favorite day? Some. I know pastors who take Mondays off, and it's a good day for them, I guess. But, I mean, we talk about Monday morning blues. We hum the tune, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Yeah. Friday's good, Monday's bad, right? But in fact, recent research has uncovered that people aren't much happier on Fridays than they are on Mondays. They really aren't. The truth is our moods do not change dramatically over the course of the week. But we remember Fridays as a happy day because of the meaning and the emotions that we attach to Fridays. It's a day when we're liberated from the daily chores of work. And when we turn from business to pleasure, it's when the door to the weekend flings wide open. These are the meanings and emotions that we attach to Friday. Friday has connotative and emotive significance as it affects and shapes our memory and how we actually feel on a Friday. Because we believe that Fridays are happy days in our memories, they are happy days. Think about it. What a powerful concept that meaning shapes our memory. Let's try another experiment. What was the best day of your life? I'm not hearing you. Birth of children? Wedding day? Graduation? Some of those things. Let's flush that out a little bit. So bride will say that her wedding day was the happiest day of her life, but frankly, it was probably pretty stressful, right? Stressful, but the meaning of marriage turns it into a happy memory. A man may say that the birth of a child is a joy, but the truth is, it's misery for a man to watch his wife in so much pain. I know. I got children. But the meaning of childbirth makes the memory a positive one. A teenager will say that the rejection of a boyfriend would be a crushing blow to her. But the fact is, she's a little relieved, and she bounces back quickly. But the meaning of romance makes the breakup a painful memory. An adult convert to Christianity says that baptism was wonderful, but the reality was it was cold and wet and uncomfortable. But the meaning of the sacrament gives that event a great memory, turns it into a moving event in that person's life. This insight can help us better understand the significance of what happened to Jesus in the Jordan River. This is the Sunday that the church calls Baptism of the Lord, and it gives us an opportunity to remember an event and reflect on its impact. It's a perfect example of how meaning shapes memory. John the Baptizer appears in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the city of Jerusalem and all Judea flock to him and are baptized in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. And after years of living with an overwhelming buildup of sin and unrighteousness, the people in the region are relieved to be washed clean and to be made right with God. This feels very good to them. John's providing a much-needed spiritual service, and wouldn't be surprised to hear the people say, TGFJ. Almost didn't get it out there. Thank God for John. You know, he comes with this repentance of baptism. But then John switches gears and reveals that he's not simply in the purification business. That there's one who is greater than he who will be coming. John says he baptizes with water, but the one who is coming baptizes with the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God on your life. Pastor Perla Martinez-Goody wrote, quote, "At this point, looking at it from a cultural point of view, here's John the Baptist, not so neat, not so clean, with a wild appearance, demonstrating the spirit of inclusiveness to all the sinners coming to him. It's a twist on today's world. Once John would have been called maybe a hippie, or he's certainly an outlier. John might find himself today as one who's standing on the outside looking on or looking in at a great event available to everyone but him. But in this story, this is the wild-looking guy that God chooses to baptize his son, Jesus Christ. John is included in, and is doing something wonderful. I mean, he wears camel's clothing and a leather belt, and he eats locusts and wild honey. And you can't look at it and say, well, maybe back in the Bible days. No, it's weird now. It was weird then, too. This is strange behavior. This is really strange behavior. And so we have John. He finds himself in the middle of this call to proclaim purification and a forgiveness of sins. And he says, but that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. There's somebody coming after me. What a gift to people. What a gift to people that John must have been. People who considered themselves outside of people who could be loved and redeemed by God. And they look at this weirdo who's standing in the middle of the Jordan River, and people are flocking to him. Why? Because they want to know that they're loved. Don't you want to know if you're loved? Okay, thanks. You're with me. All right. It's one of the basic human needs. We are created for relationship and human love. And people who didn't know if they were loved, they'll look at John, and their toes might be at the edge of the river. And they're wondering, is this for me? And they'll take a second look at John and say, well, he's strange. If he's accepted, if he's part of this group, then maybe it's for me also. Maybe I can be loved and I can be accepted. He's one of us. Look at what he's doing. There's hope for us. So when we look at the actual events that occurred at the Jordan, we see a variety of emotions. There's gratitude for the great gift of forgiveness. There's surprise and there's shock at the appearance of this prophet. Remember that the prophetic tradition in the Jewish people had been dead for 400 years. They really hadn't had a prophet for 400, almost 500 years. And here comes this prophet out of the wilderness, proclaiming forgiveness and love and a renewed relationship. So certainly some confusion about the identity of the powerful one who's coming after John. And all those emotions, shock and confusion and gratitude, gets mixed up in the actual experience of John's ministry is this jumble of emotions, not a carefully crafted stained glass picture of pure joy and happiness. And this all changes when Jesus comes on the scene because meaning has a powerful effect on memory. Mark tells us that Jesus comes from Nazareth of Galilee. He's baptized by John in the Jordan, and just as he's coming up out of the water, he sees the heavens open up and this Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove. And then we hear these words, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." This is the meaning of baptism, that Jesus is God's Son, the Beloved. The mix of feelings up to this point, gratitude for cleansing, surprise at the baptizer's clothing, confusion about the identity of the powerful one, are suddenly pushed aside, and in their place there's a new emotion that emerges, joy. Joy, this is the one. This is the Beloved. This is the one who is sent, with whom God is well pleased. And when Jesus is baptized, we are filled to overflowing with a feeling of joy that God has revealed his Son, announced his love, and proclaimed just how pleased he is with this redemptive presence in the world. The meaning of baptism is that God accepts Jesus as his son, and the happiness we feel over this acceptance shapes our entire memory of baptism. Gone is that mix of emotions that were felt by the people at the Jordan River, replaced by deep joy that Jesus is God's son, the beloved. Jesus is now for us the Word of God in human form, the way, the truth, the life. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. After witnessing his baptism, we don't have to wonder any longer about who Jesus is. We know his true identity. Well, the same is for us, friends. As we remember our own baptisms today, in this sacrament, we are connected to the body of Christ, the universal community of Christians that is nothing less than the flesh and blood physical presence of Jesus in the world today. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans wrote, "Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. If we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." In this sacrament, we become children of God, no less loved and accepted than Jesus Christ himself. This is the meaning of baptism, that baptism connects us to the body of Christ. It enables us to die and to rise with Jesus, makes us dead to sin and alive to God. It gives us new and everlasting life and a freshly minted identity of children of a loving, as children of a loving God. It's an experience that shapes our memory forever. We make a mistake, however, if we believe that baptism is always the beginning of a lifetime of perfect bliss. I know that all of you, since becoming Christians, have had just a rosy life, right? Everything's been just cool, right? Not so much. Not so much. Think about what happened immediately after the baptism of Jesus. In Mark, we're told that he's driven out into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. And then when that's over, he's confronted immediately by people who are possessed. A person with an unclean spirit, a woman with a fever, a steady stream of people who are sick. There's no rest for the freshly baptized. Some of us remember our baptism while others do not. In fact, you can't if you were baptized as an infant. Thank God it's not the memory that makes the baptism meaningful, but rather the meaning that makes the baptism memorable. Thank God that we shouldn't really look at baptism as just a memory at all, but rather a changed life. People say, "I was baptized Catholic." Just this past weekend, I had somebody say, "Well, I was baptized in the Methodist Church, but now I can't remember, Episcopal or something. I was baptized Methodist. I was. Now, if I said I was married, Ruth's gone, so it's okay. It's cool. That's naughty. Anyway, but if I said I was married, you might assume that I'm widowed or divorced, right? I was married. But the fact is, there's nothing wrong with me saying that. I was married. I was married on, you know, July 12th in 1986, right? That's a true fact. But I am married. That's my status, right? But we say I was baptized rather than I am baptized. I am baptized. A continual process of recognizing that we are loved and accepted by God. Not was, not just once, but every day that we wake up. Every day that we wake up, I am baptized. More than anything else, baptism marks our birth as Christians. Through baptism, we are identified as children of God who are loved and lovable, chosen by God to be his people in the world. Dutch priest Henry Nouwen wrote, quote, "The truth, even though I cannot feel it right now, is that I am the chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved from all eternity and held safe in an everlasting embrace." The chosen child of God. This is not just Jesus. It's each one of us. Precious. Beloved. Held in an everlasting embrace. I like that phrase. Held in an everlasting embrace. Our true identity. Make that your memory of baptism. And let this be the word of God for the people of God today at Central Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.